to Not So Live from Asteroid G, coming back from the future and dressing as a policeman to chase down a small boy. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna go invest in some open AI because I know how this ends up at the end of the day, am I right?
So, I don't necessarily think we would normally do another Terminator podcast anytime soon. Like, the movies
what
have
about
all...
my bingo card?
No! The new movies have all come and gone. The TV show that they did for Netflix was fine, but I haven't heard anything about them doing another season. Like, everything just kind of passed. And I think audiences in general were sitting there going, you know what? Haven't we said everything we need to say about the Terminator franchise at this point? Even most of the video games that have come out, which I've reviewed a ton of them for the website over time, weren't really that great. The best ideas they had were RoboCop versus the Terminator, which were, like, based on a comic book that was very mid-1990s and everyone's forgotten about since then. Like, this is not a franchise begging for more. And yet, James Cameron, despite previous failures and him even having an active hand in the last failure, Dark Fate, is sitting there going, you know what we need? Yet another Terminator. Let me make another one. And the thing is, dude has Avatar. It's not like he's not making money. Why the fuck is he revisiting Terminator when, like, 3 decades ago, he was going, is that all I need to say? Why make another?
I don't know if it feels like unfinished business or he just feels like he can... I like James Cameron, and I'm not trying to shit on him, but does he feel like he can save a saving franchise just because he's James Cameron? Like, I don't know.
I don't know. Like,
I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. I think if he's given all the action figures and he actively wants to play with them himself, then he probably can tell something interesting. Despite all their many, numerous, uncountable flaws, I think the Avatar movies are terrible. But when it comes to visual effects, the man is a master. I will watch an ass story for 2 hours of unobtainium and weird whale DNA. And, but then he gets to the war at the end. I'm like, woo, blue cats, go! So, it is the thing of, I think his movies are terrible as far as Avatar is concerned. But if you just focus solely on the visual effects and action, those movies are fucking great.
Yeah, he does things that captivate you on the silver screen that, like, just you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
You know, the first Avatar, like, that came out, what, 16, 15 years ago at this point, 2009, I think.
The passage of time comes for us all.
Yeah. We everything we know movies of now is because of what that showed us and what he did there. So maybe he's trying to chase that high again. I don't know, because, like, everything that has been done in Terminator... It's where are you going to go with it? Everything's been done. The war's avoidable. The war is not avoidable. The war's here. The war's gone. Timelines. There's just, it's a clusterfuck of, I don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah.
And Arnold is like 70.
Well, and that's the thing. He has said that he's not going to bring back Arnold. He said he's not going to bring back Sarah Connor, John Connor, any of that. It's going to be entirely new, which we almost did the last time. He kind of tried that with Dark Fate, which was new leader of the Resistance, new storyline, even if Sarah Connor and the Terminator come back, whatever.
Right.
But the problem isn't what characters they bring in. The problem is there's no new story to tell. The best version of a new story we've gotten was the Sarah Connor Chronicles, and no one wanted to watch that because it took forever to get anywhere on a story. Don't get me wrong. I'm a defender of that TV show, but even I will note at times it was pretty slow and boring. So,
you said that. I tried watching that, and I'm going to give that a watch again because it's only, what, a season and a half, 2 seasons?
Basically,
it's a quick watch.
Like 21 episodes.
I'd like to watch that to be able to discuss it with you, too. And I couldn't get through the first season because it was such a slow burn.
It is a slow burn. Know? And don't get me wrong, I appreciate where the story goes, and it starts doing some really interesting things with the timeline and the characters that it sets up. And, like, by the end, I'm like, oh, I need more. But it's hard to get there when, like, the first 10 episodes are, like, so slow burn. You're like, where's my Terminator show? Where is this going? When you look at it from the perspective of what is the story we can tell, you have the first one, movie about woman getting stalked by an unkillable machine from the future, having to run for her life with a protector. Then you have the second one, story about boy being stalked by unkillable monster from the future, being protected by someone else from the future. And then every movie since then has been boy or someone boy knows or someone in boy's position being stalked by unkillable killer from the future. And you're like, we don't really have a new story. The closest they could try was, like, Genesis, which almost was a new story and then wasn't and became really bad. Even when they have a good setup, they fail and they fall back on the same procedural story again. Is it just that we need a Terminator that doesn't follow the formula of the Terminator?
It might be. I mean, I don't know if you're going to say save a franchise. Like, this will be around forever. It's Terminator. Mm-hmm. But you need something to perk interest again, right? Mm-hmm. And to your point, like, this has been the same story, done really well a few times, but the same fucking story for 40 years.
Yeah.
How many times can you just change it, make it shiny, give me a new Terminator with a new function, and not make it the same thing? It's boring.
Well, and that's the thing. We haven't had a new Terminator that actually seemed like a real threat since the T-1000. Mm-hmm. They did metal, and then they did liquid metal. And then after they're like, how about metal with liquid metal? Or how about nanites that act like liquid metal? Or how about a slightly different liquid metal? Like, they haven't... There's not a new idea that makes the Terminator itself feel interesting. When all they can ever do is, well, this one can split into two, and one's the endoskeleton, and one's the actual liquid metal. You're like, but that's... We've already kind of seen that. You could have just done that by sending two Terminators. I'm not seeing fresh and interesting.
As interesting as that Terminator kind of was in Dark Fate 2 with the exoskeleton, and again, it's just rehashed, it's same thing.
Yeah.
There's no different. Like, as different and unique as it can be too, but why didn't you just send two then? Like, you said it all right there. Like, there's no new here.
No.
It's John Connor, it's Sarah Connor, it's the Terminator, and some version of someone in their inner orbit that they know that is important to the future.
Yeah, that's the thing. Even the sixth one was like, it's a different person. It's not John Connor anymore, but she's still basically John Connor with a different face.
And then John Connor had something to do with sending the Terminator to her. Yeah, like.
And so. Then the her protector is not a Terminator, but not a human. Somewhere in the middle of that, and I'm like, okay, maybe, but no. But we already kind of saw that in the TV show. Like, none of it really feels new. I kind of wrote, like, the introduction of a treatment for a reboot, Terminators, back on the website back years ago, and I only got, like, 10 little, quick little ideas into it. But it was, like, instead of focusing on the Terminator or the person they're fighting or anything like that, you just have this random cop, like, stumble on a case of, like, people from the future, although they don't realize it at the time, getting murdered at the apartment that they've been occupying. And then she's like, they're in, like, this weird underground war. What's going on? And then, like, she keeps stumbling upon pieces of, like, this whole thing that's going on that she's not related to. She's not John Connor or some John Connor analog. She's not being stalked by a Terminator or anything. She's just stumbled into this future war being fought in, like, I don't know, the 1980s or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that seemed interesting to me because it's a different perspective and you're just getting different color on it. But I don't even know if that idea is sustainable long term, because it's like, okay, so at some point they've stumbled into the Terminator thing and now we're back to a Terminator storyline. Like,
yeah, it's always going to come back to, you know, something from the future coming to kill something from the past to prevent something in the future.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
it's the same formula at the end of the day. Yeah. And, like, I mean, you can kind of try to do something like Final Fantasy 13, 2, 3, something like that, did where, like, if you change the past, you change the future kind of thing. Like, you could throw some angles at this that can, you know, make it different, but, like, they haven't. And I'm not smart enough to come up with a way to word it where it is.
Well, that's the thing. They kind of tried to do that in Sarah Connor Chronicles, but it was so slow, no one tuned in for it. So, like, it feels like you can do the quick storyline, like they've done in most of the movies, or you can do the interesting in-depth storyline, but those audiences don't meet up.
Yeah, I don't know.
We had two good movies. I mean,
we did.
If we hadn't had so many different sequels over the last 30 years, I would almost argue that at this point, just rebooting, doing a new remake of the first one, and then a new remake of the second one, and just doing those two and calling it would be better. Because the whole story between the first two is self-contained, and we don't need anything else.
It really is, you know, yeah. Like it wasn't, you never really thought, I think, after the first one you were going to get that sequel. And mm-hmm. 7 years went by until you did. And yes, there was advancements in CGI and all the things that they could do in the second movie that they couldn't do in the first one. You know, there's very crude practical effects going on in the first one.
In a fun way. Yeah.
Yeah, in a fun way. In a very endearing, very like, there was care into it at the
yeah.
same time.
Oh, yeah, you yeah. tell.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, they do that. They make the second one. It's one nice story that's all wrapped up in a bow. And then they're like, oh, shit, this was successful. It's 12 years later. Let's make another one kind of thing. And then it just kind of snowballed from there into mm-hmm. the same pile of horse shit we have today. They should have yeah. stopped after two 35 should've, years ago.
Should have stopped after two. And yeah. and that is what they're always fighting. I think any fan of the franchise is going to sit there going, well, what does this have to do with anything? Three set up the fact that the timeline didn't reset. It just kind of slid back to where it was before, I guess. And then Salvation...
Something like that, yeah.
At least Salvation was set in the future, even if it still had more or less the same storyline and a really boring lead. Actually, two boring leads. Honestly, Christian Bale wasn't good in that movie either.
Sad.
Yeah, and then we've just gone back to, well, maybe if we throw different Terminators at the wall, but...
Yeah.
Maybe the problem is the fact that we're just throwing Terminators at the wall and not actually coming up with a storyline that suits them.
It's just the same thing. It's been done, and it hasn't been done well since the second one.
And that was the last one James Cameron actually directed. The only ones that I go back and watch again and again are the first two. Like, I don't even think I bought Dark Fate, and I own everything, but you can see my wall of movies behind me. Like, I don't even care about the most recent one. I'm like, oh, it's that one. Ew.
Yeah. And, you know, and it tried to be interesting. I thought it was different-esque enough, kind of, sort of, in a way, but at the same time, it's the same formula, you know?
Well, like, and...
There's nothing else they can do. It's been done.
Bringing back Sarah Connor was interesting enough, but like, yeah. Oh, and they brought back the old Terminator, but they just did that in Genesis like 5 years ago.
Right? Exactly.
That's not even a new idea. Like, I
don't know, give them a family and a life and make it more interesting. I don't know. Like, maybe that was the angle this time. The Terminator learned how to live with a family and had a life.
It just doesn't work. It's totally pointless. It just
he was never that compelling of a character to begin with.
He was the whole reason the Terminator worked as a character was because he was a living special effect by having this 6'4" Austrian who really couldn't talk but looked really good shirtless going around killing people. Yeah. And the movie was crafted to suit his personality, much like Conan the Barbarian was crafted to suit his limited acting style. Arnold Schwarzenegger can't act. Not with the depth that you would expect. Like, Stallone is an actor. Schwarzenegger is a special effect.
Yeah, so, Schwarzenegger is an action star. He did a movie called Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
That is Schwarzenegger. He is an action hero.
He has a little
Stallone
charisma.
Stallone is an actor.
Yeah. He has a little charisma that he uses for, like, comedy and to look imposing. Stallone, you go back and you watch, like, the first Rambo, First Blood, which we talked about, or fucking Rocky, at least the first one.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff he did. I am one of the few people in the world that will defend Copland with everything I have. Because
it's
that
not
was,
a bad movie.
No! It was Stallone going, I don't want to do action anymore, I want to do drama. And then it tanked because everyone expected him to be an action star, so he gave up on doing drama afterwards, which is sad, because that movie's actually really good.
Funny you bring that up too, because like not to go off on a Stallone tangent here.
I did it.
One of my favorite movies that he did is like a very little known movie from the 90s called Oscar. It's a comedy.
It is a comedy,
and
Mob Oscar.
He's amazing in that movie. It's him playing like a mob boss, but like Tim Curry's in it and Marissa Tomei is in it. Like it's just a goofy gangster kind of movie. It wants to be Goodfellas, but like it's a comedy. He's so good, funny, and I didn't know because I only knew him in Rocky or knew him in Rambo at the time. Yeah, so that's the first thing I'd seen him do, and I was like, "Damn, he can do other things too. The guy can act."
Yeah, he was acting before First Blood. Mm-hmm. You can see the reason why he was cast in First Blood was because he could act. He brought a certain amount of that to Rocky, and he tried to do it with the later Rambos as well, although not that well. And his skill was wasted. Arnold Schwarzenegger wasn't wasted. Arnold Schwarzenegger was cast exactly for what he was good at, looking imposing. And then they have this need to keep bringing him back over and over because it's his model line and people care about them. But at a certain point, that stretches credulity because you're sitting there going, if they all look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, they're not very good as stealth robots.
Yeah, especially like it, movie to movie, all it is just an aged version of the T-100. Like, he can't do that role anymore. And and fans, a lot of us, I'm sure, have accepted that, and we'd be fine. To your point, I think earlier of like, you know, seeing a reboot, bring me a new T-1000, give me the guy who plays Reacher, you know, that dude, and have him be the Terminator. I could buy that guy being an Arnold. You know,
he could actually act, because I've seen him in a bunch of stuff and he's good. But he is also exactly as you say, that imposing living special effect. The dude is 6'6" in a wall of muscle. Like,
he's an animal.
He knows it too. He's really good at it.
Yeah. He was in Blue Mountain State too. Mm-hmm. And he would just do Thad or Tad. I forget his name, but like to see, like, go look at Blue Mountain State and look at that guy and look at him playing Reacher now. Wow.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing. He's reining himself in for Reacher. I don't think Reacher's a very good show. I think we've discussed it before. I call it the equivalent of Dad Rock for Amazon streaming. And Amazon is just basically made a business of doing Dad Rock TV shows and movies. That's their bread and butter when it comes to their male demographic. But
they know how to scratch that itch.
Like, let's do something that's vaguely political but isn't really political, and have a patriotic soldier in the middle of it, and call it a show. And we'll make that patriotic Reacher man. But Alan Rickman makes the show as watchable as he can, despite how terrible it is. I couldn't even get through the second season, because he's at least a good actor, and I like his performance. I gave it everything I could. Put him as the Terminator in a reboot, I'll show up for that.
I'd buy it, right? I think he could pull it off. I don't know who your Sarah Connor and your, you know, Kyle Reese would be, and I would have to think about that. But I think he would be somebody that I could see, like, rebooting in a younger version of, like, what Arnold was 40 years ago. Not saying he's Arnold or going to be what Arnold is 40 years from now, but I could see the same physique, that model specimen, to your point, that Adonis, if you will, that can look at that role.
You need the Adonis. You need the dude that's huge and bulky, and you absolutely expect to be the action hero in a movie in the 1980s. Then you need to cast against him some weaselly, wormy little dude. And I'm going to tell you, as weird as this sounds, I think the perfect casting choice for that, to play the new Kyle Reese, if we were casting this, is Michael Cera.
Really?
Because the dude actually can act, he just doesn't get much of an opportunity to do it. And when you think of weird, weaselly dudes that look like they've been surviving in the apocalypse for a while, I can see Michael Cera like looking like that role. You don't want someone that looks like an action star. You want to cast against type. And that's the problem with like Genesis. They cast that bland dude I can't remember his name for, who always shows up and stuff, who actually can act, but he was super bland in that movie. And he's like a 6'4" wall of muscle that you'd normally cast for a Terminator. And you're like, but you made him Kyle Reese, who's supposed to be starving on the edge of the apocalypse. I don't buy this casting choice. But someone like Michael Cera or someone in that style who's nerdy and thin and reedy and can act, but doesn't look like an action hero. That's who you need.
I could see that, like a Michael Cera, a Jesse Eisenberg kind of, you know.
Although he's a little overdone. Like, the nice thing about Michael Cera in comparison is that he hasn't had a huge career since Arrested Development. People kind of got tired of the shtick. And then, like, Jesse Eisenberg slid on in because of The Social Network and basically took over the Michael Cera roles.
Yeah, he because Zombieland kind of vaulted him and the success of that movie.
He became Michael Cera.
Michael Cera was great, though, and Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
He was. So, and that's the thing. You know? Like, he shows, like, he's got great comedic timing. So I think if you were writing an action script and you needed him to do, like, a little sarcastic what or whatever, he could do it. But he also just, most of the people that have really good sarcastic comedic timing actually have really good dramatic chops. They just don't tend to show it off. The best actors, dramatic-wise, tend to be comedians.
It's true. It's kind of true.
Yeah. So, and I'm not saying Michael Cera is, like, the perfect, perfect choice, but, like, certainly would be off the wall.
I like that angle, though. I like that angle.
Put him up against, like you can even, like, if you cast it differently and wrote it a little differently, where, like, the Terminator has a little more personality and is, like, trying to blend in, because we're casting Alan Rickman in this dream scenario that I didn't realize we were going to do for this podcast. Then, like, you have him at a bar, and he's, like, fake drinking a drink, and then Michael Cera wanders up, and the two of them just have this, like, casual conversation about comic books or something, and then suddenly Sarah Connor shows up, and the whole scene just insta-changes. That's dramatic and interesting, and that right there hooks. You could just make that the trailer for the movie, just that one scene. I think it would actually sell.
That's actually interesting too, like have them interact like a Terminator that can learn almost a little bit and everything kind of like blend in. Like that's kind of cool. That's a neat little thought. And I like the idea, like you're right, like Kyle Reese shouldn't be like this jacked, ready to go army guy. He's like an everyman. I don't know if he was originally a soldier before the war, but he's a soldier now.
He was a kid.
He grew up in it.
Yeah,
you know, he shouldn't be a guy that looks like he's ready for war. He should be a guy that looks stressed out like Michael Bane was back in the day. You know?
He grew up in like 15 years of war eating dog food and beans. That's his whole life. So he shouldn't be 230 and completely jacked.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah. Cool idea, though. I like where you're coming from with that.
I came in here going, we don't need a Terminator movie. And now that I've cast this reboot, I kind of want this Terminator movie. I know we're never going to get it, but...
We'll never get that, but that's interesting.
It's a good fake.
Have it, like, almost the first 15 minutes of the movie, too. Be them, like, maybe thinking they got to be, like, friends and kind of learn something from each other. And then all of a sudden, they realize they're pitted against each other. Like, that'd be kind of neat. You know?
Almost like it's itself started off as, like, a buddy cop thing. Maybe, like, even each of them have gone back in time and have, like, established lives. And somehow, maybe they're not partnered on the police force, but they're both working in the police force. So when something goes on,
they know each other.
They both show up and they're buddies and they're talking and everything. And then Sarah Connor shows up and suddenly one of the two of them goes dead stalkerish. And you're like, wait, what just happened? What movie did I wander into? It plays on the same idea that the second Terminator tried and then was spoiled by the trailers, which was the Terminator is stalking John Connor and you don't realize he's actually the hero.
Yeah.
So it's that same sudden twist that recontextualizes the first 15 minutes that you just watched. Mm. That's what Terminator needs. That needs a new take.
Right. Yeah. And we'll see what we're going to get here. But, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, we came up with a cool idea on the fly. But I think at the end of the day, do we need another Terminator movie?
I don't. Probably not. I mean, if they're going to do it, I think you let it sit another 10 years and then you do a kind of reboot like we're pitching. Just let it be so dead that people start to have nostalgia for it again. Because I think that's the thing. You and I are Terminator fans.
Sure.
You and I are not suffering from nostalgia for it yet.
No, we're not. No.
Prey, the Predator movie, worked really well because it had waited just long enough since a good Predator movie that we were feeling nostalgia for it. I think everyone forgets that Shane Black's movie even happened. But Prey was good.
It's so sad. I had such faith in Shane Black, and he broke my heart. He broke my heart.
Like, it went well enough that, with Prey, that we've hit a renaissance of new Predator movies, and people are excited to see them again. That's the problem that we're having right now, is that it's not been that long since Dark Fate. It's not been that long since the Netflix show came out. Before then, it hadn't been but a few years since Genesis, and then Salvation, and then Terminator. They keep hitting it over and over, and they're not letting nostalgia build.
They missed their mark with the third one when there was a 12-year gap. Like, they had a chance there to get it, and they've tried to capture it since then, and it's been 20 years of mediocrity.
Yeah, you and I are right on this one thing, I think more than anything. We don't need it, and that's because we're not missing it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you're right.
Yeah. Let us miss Terminator, then we'll come back and watch a new one. This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, wishing we too were apocalyptic warriors in the future. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul gonna go get his plastique ready for dinner. Have a good night, everybody.
Put it in a pipe bomb, have it ready. I learned a lot from that movie.
Yes, yes.
We will see you all next time.